The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, a quick note about ads from us, your hosts. We are picky about our advertisers and all of our partners or brands or products that we either use ourselves or that we think our audience would benefit from knowing about. Working with advertisers is what allows us to make this show, and they keep working with us because you, our listeners, use the unique links and codes they provide. It's one of the most meaningful ways to support what we do. So thanks for that. We're really, really grateful. If you're ever looking for a specific code, head to athingortwohq.com/sponsors and you'll find them all. Okay, here's the show.
Welcome to A Thing or Two, a deep dive into stuff we think more people should know about. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. To share your thoughts on this episode or anything really, leave us a voicemail at 833-632-5463 or DM us on Instagram at A Thing or Two HQ.
And join our Geneva. The link is in our Instagram bio.
A bit of like a short mascara moment.
You want to know something funny?
Huh?
I forgot to put on mascara today.
What?
I know. I was looking at your
lashes on the way here.
Really?
And I was
like something's
that,
different?
Well, I was basically like, that mascara is like,
it doesn't do anything.
No, you just like can't tell there's any of it on.
That's because there isn't.
Interesting.
I had one of those mornings where I was doing so much stuff when I was getting ready. And as I was leaving the bathroom mirror, I was like, there's something I forgot to do. And I'm looking at my face. I'm like, no, you put on blush. You did that. I forgot mascara.
Wow. Well, this is perfectly timed because basically we were talking about mascara the other day and I had watched a Get Ready With Me video on TikTok that was like my 5-minute, you know, beauty routine. I can't remember who it was. It doesn't really matter. The point was that she did a full face of makeup as everyone does in these 5-minute routines.
Yes.
And you're like, wait, there's more?
Yeah.
But then at the end, she's like, I think I'm going to skip mascara. It always just like feels too much. And I was like, what?
This is how I feel. I'm like, it is the foundation of any makeup routine. It's also the first
thing. You said it's the underpants of makeup.
It is the underpants of makeup.
I think that's right.
When my parents first gave me permission to start getting myself dressed, I very quickly learned that underwear was not optional, which I thought it was,
yeah.
You know, and like, you know, somebody, my mom, I'm sure was like, where are your underpants? And I was like, hey, I just didn't put them on today. And she was like,
wasn't
no,
in
that's
the mood.
Not a thing.
Wasn't part of the look.
But that's how this, some people apparently are about mascara. It's like, oh, I just wasn't in the mood. Excuse me?
Well, you said you had a chat with a friend.
This chat was truly over a year ago, but I've never forgotten it. And I scrolled back my phone. We were going to a playground date with a bunch of people. She texted me and said, are you wearing mascara this afternoon? And I said, I can't remember the last time I left the house without mascara for anything other than a workout or school drop off. And she said, I wore it last night for 45 minutes. So now I'm in the mood. But you know, I love a red lip for drop off.
You know, I love a red lip for drop off.
My head was spinning.
Absolutely. I cannot process it.
I cannot process it. You're wearing a red lip, but you're not going to put on mascara. Also, I wore mascara for 45 minutes last night, so now I'm in the mood. Mascara is the first thing your mom lets you wear as a preteen.
I thought.
And then you wear it every day, and it's the thing that, like, if you're doing nothing else, you put on mascara.
It's like the equivalent of, like, being allowed to shave your legs.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I also will take this opportunity to say I feel incredibly loyal to my mascara. More loyal.
You do. You really do.
More loyal than ever before because I stepped out on it recently and learned my lesson. So I love the Kevin O'Coin The Volume Mascara. It was my introduction to tubing, which is a formulation of mascara that uses a polymer that wraps around each lash to create a tube, hence the name. The tubes flake less, last long, and are water resistant and are great for those of us with sensitive skin. Also great for those of us with the type of face where you end up with every bit of eye makeup underneath your eye.
Yeah, I haven't tried this mascara. I know that I probably need to. I have been pretty loyal to this Lily Lolo mascara
for a while. Which I couldn't use because it ended up under my eye.
It didn't work for you. And now I have been using a soon-to-be-released mascara. My sister-in-law works at a beauty company, and so I've been testing it, and it comes out soon. I'll share it in the newsletter when it comes out, that I've really been liking. And it's, like, more dramatic. It's, much more, like, it has, like, fibers, and it's vegan, and et cetera, et cetera. And, yeah.
Should we bring on our guest?
We should bring on our guest.
Okay.
We are here with the delightful Billy Cotton today. We are so excited. Billy is one of the most charming interior designers around, and we mean both his work and him as a person, both. Per the New York Times, he's the go-to for Cindy Sherman, Mirabelle Marden, slew of other art world stars. No big deal. He also has a very stellar new collaboration out with West Elm that we are obsessed with, and we love, love his book. It has been the background of various thingies roundups,
true,
which is among
and we always
the highest
get questions
we
about
bestow.
It.
Yeah,
we I had mean, Crispix as a background this week, so
I mean, talk about yeah. good company.
Yes,
hi,
it is a really good book.
Hi,
though.
Hi everyone. Thanks hi. So much for having me here today.
Oh my
huge
gosh, we're
fan
so
of the
excited.
Pod. So it's an honor to be here.
We are such big fans of yours. I no other way to put it. I just love your work so much. I just think it's not so trend driven. It's not so aggressive. It always feels personal and
charming. Just charming.
You're just so good at it.
Thank you so much. I also will say, like, we're really lucky for the people that we work with.
Yeah.
And that have been able to build this portfolio of work that I feel like is all those things,
yeah.
you know, and that it just sort of like naturally is like, yeah. we really care about the way that people live
mm-hmm.
and we really care about differentiating that.
Yes.
And I've just been very lucky. I mean, I think that every interior designer will say like their portfolio and the work they put out into the world, I mean, is, you know, their innate talent on some level,
mm-hmm.
but also the opportunities that they've been given. So
one, yeah, the people you have worked with, are so many artists and creatives who are so unique and just have so much personality that still comes through.
New York City. I think, you know, I can't say enough about it.
Yes.
And I can't say enough about its, you know, its challenges and that it's also just this magnet
mm-hmm.
for these hardworking, creative, adventurous, masochistic
yes.
people, you know, who I can't think of any other place that would be, you know, sort of this brilliant petri dish for us being able to bring these people together. And the funny thing is that a lot of my projects have not been in New York,
mm-hmm.
but there are people who are living in other parts of the country and the world that have been attracted to the energy and the creativity mm. of this place and understand that something sort of special happens here, and they're willing to pay to fly me to, you know, Valparaiso, Indiana to
love.
Do what I do.
Love.
What a wonderful answer. You're preaching to the choir because Eric and I, in a somewhat masochistic sense, both deeply love New York.
Yeah.
And I love that's your answer of why it all works.
Yes.
Yeah.
And no, I keep coming back to it, you know, and now then things have become a little bit, you know, that it's not just me, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it's this team of people. And part of the reason I stay here and I'm centered here and, you know, can never imagine doing this job anywhere else is because of the talent.
Yeah.
Now, because like, and I just look at these, you know, younger people who keep coming here in droves. Like, you literally can't rent an apartment here.
No,
and
I
like,
know. It always impresses
like really,
me so much.
Exactly, it's
yeah.
Like,
and like, it was hard when we came, but it was not as hard as it is now.
No,
like, like you got to really want it.
You got to really want it. And they really want it.
Yeah.
They really want to be in this really
right.
unpleasant environment sometimes, you know.
But you have this beautiful part of your book talking about how growing up outside of New York influenced your aesthetic so much. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think big love to all my friends who grew up here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do always say, like, I can't imagine what it would have been like to have seen literally everything by
yeah.
age 10.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
totally.
Have literally seen the world.
Yeah.
So I am grateful that I was in some ways, like, sheltered from, mm-hmm. like, the cultural cacophony
mm-hmm.
that is New York. Like, and, you know, the city of Boston, mm-hmm. which some of you might know, like, is not, you know, has its cultural jewels, but then, you
but
know.
But it is not the overwhelm of New York.
It's
in
not
that way.
The overwhelm
yeah.
of New York. And I was, you know, I was in a leafy suburban
mm-hmm.
part of it. And then my family moved to Vermont,
right.
you know, and that kind of, which I really credit with like a lot of, like even actually the removal of 13 from even that little bit of urbanness
mm-hmm.
and that like when I really came into my own was not anywhere near, like there was no contemporary art museum with it. There's a couple of that. Some people are going to call me out for that. But, but you know, there was a wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and there was this thrill of arriving in a place that had the population and the museums and the, you know, opportunity and all that. And I'm so grateful for that wonder, mm-hmm. you know, and I think I still even try now to kind of hold that.
I also grew up outside of New York, but came here a lot when I was a kid. And I do think a really helpful mental exercise is to walk through New York and be like, if I didn't live here, if I was visiting this city, yeah. what would I think about my surroundings and the people who live here? And just like, what would my perspective be? Because yeah, you become numb to it eventually if you're here long enough, but it's such an awe-inspiring city.
I do love, that's the greatest, I always say one of the best parts of living here is leaving.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you have to leave. Yeah. And then, but then that approach, mm-hmm. and I do remember coming here as a kid, we'd pile on, you know, where I was always in what was called, I think it was called the poop deck of the Volvo station wagon where you were looking.
Yeah, were you looking out the back?
Yeah. Before, I guess, like modern safety rules because
seatbelts were a concept.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was also this like cardboard folding seat in the trunk of a car where you were staring at the cars behind you. Mm-hmm. So it was like the littlest person in the car will die first. I just remember that coming down the West Side Highway. And when you'd see, you know, the George Washington Bridge and you'd see the whole thing and, you know, when I do that drive still, it's like, we're back.
Thank you so much to Fast Growing Trees for sponsoring today's episode. We had friends over for a Friday night pizza hang last weekend, and we were talking about our weekend plans and asked our friends what they were doing. And basically their entire Saturday was dedicated to going to a nursery to try to find indoor trees for their house. And I was like, do you know about Fast Growing Trees? And I kind of assumed that they would, and that they were just making this choice because they are very committed indoor gardeners, and they didn't know about it. They were so thrilled. It was like, I felt like I was on QVC because I was walking around the house being like, and this, and actually got some tips about my indoor tree. My friend said to shake the trunk to emulate the wind and give it some strength. Did you know that one?
This is a real cultural exchange experience.
I was like, I'll tell you how to spend your money better. You tell me how to garden better.
That's right.
It felt really good. I was like, save your Saturday. Do something else. Sit around and watch TV. I don't know, but don't drive to Long Island and spend the day at a nursery.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. The experts at Fast Growing Trees curate thousands of plants so you can find the perfect fit for anything you need, indoor, outdoor, all of the stuff. It makes it so easy to order online and your plants are shipped to your door in 1 to 2 days. Whether you're looking to add some privacy shade or natural beauty to your yard, Fresh Growing Trees has in-house experts ready to ship and make the right selection. You can talk to a plant care expert about your soil type, get all the tips you could want. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. The listeners of our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code ATHINGORTWO at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code ATHINGORTWO at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code ATHINGORTWO. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hi, guys. It's Jordan from the Balanced Blonde Soul on Fire podcast. On my show, we go deep on all things astrology, awakening, motherhood, channeling, healing, and so much more. A few years ago, I was diagnosed with chronic Lyme disease, and the healing journey I embarked on at that time set me on the path to radical awakening. Let's just say I had no choice but to change my energy, and that opened me up to the most beautiful healing of my life. On my show, you can expect to feel like you're sitting in my living room chatting with old friends. Tune in every Wednesday to connect and hang on the Balanced Blonde Soul on Fire.
How would you describe, how would you describe some of the through lines in your work? Like, what are like sort of signature you things?
I think I love polish. But I love it when it's in contrast with something natural, you know? So it's like, as much as I like love the glamour of something, I always want to have it highlighted by something that feels like grounded in something. And which I think is generally the through line is that I like contrasts, you know?
Yeah.
And that I don't, and even though, even if I like a total look, there might be like a lot of contrast in texture or material. I think that I do always want it to feel personal when it comes to being in a home.
That's what I think so much of interior design today feels so...
It's the idea of like wanting things to look like a hotel or like what, like impersonal. Like,
and it really can be really fun to look at. But the beauty of looking through your book, which I was doing recently for the background of our Instagram, was that everything felt like a home. Everything felt so personal and it was stunning and it was beautiful, but it was like, it feels like an actual home.
Like a place you would want to cozy up yourself.
Yeah. And I, you know, I don't mean to denigrate Kim Kardashian, but she has like pushed this aesthetic that is not home-like at all, right? And that has permeated through so much of like, it's got to be all white or it's got to be all stone or it's got to be all wood or whatever. And I'm like, no, you need some
balance. We're not going to, you know, Kim is very, she's high up on a vault for me. She's a vaulted, you know, person for me. So I understand what she's doing.
Yes.
And I understand the reason for it. And I respect it. I actually like admire it. I'm like, you know, I want to burn everything in my home. But and there's a lot of people that help sustain that look.
I think that it's not easy to maintain.
It's not easy to maintain. And so that's why it's like, my respect for her and like my desire to at least be able to have that much help.
Yes.
You know, I don't think I want her life, but I want the amount of support that she has to maintain that life. I think that there's a confluence of a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. I think that Instagram, you know, there became this huge amount of imagery. So before, homes were viewed in magazines.
Yep.
You know, these were very elaborate shoots that were done. They were extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and this was the heyday of Condé Nast and all of these things. And, you know, each one of the shoots that were in the probably 10 shelter publications that existed at the time were tens of thousands of dollars that would take years. Mm-hmm. Like, you would submit your photos, and then it would be like a couple years till that thing was published, you know, and it was extremely competitive and it was like
a thing. Had to work with the right architecture firm in order to like
the architecture firm and stylist and get in with the editor. So that process got democratized in a huge way. Mm-hmm. And then it got reduced to this little teeny square. And at the same time, this real estate porn started. Mm-hmm. This is my theory.
I'm loving it.
The intellectual theory of how we've ended up here. And we started looking at real estate listings, which are photography that is void of character, where all objects have been removed.
Yeah.
And we became voyeurs of real estate, of Zillow, the Zillow life.
Yeah, the Zillow scroll.
Yeah, and which is amazing, and I highly promote. But it trained our eye in a different way. You know, I think that we started to see things in a different way, where that was the connotation of luxury, was to see this staged, maybe even digitally staged, in real life. Here's now another layer that sort of goes onto it. And I think that, you know, in addition to that, hospitality and the influencers around travel and stuff like this. And this idea of like, yes, I want to live in a resort. Mm-hmm. Like, I would like to actually live in a resort. And you actually can. Like, we can find you the same bed from the Aman, and we can do all this stuff. So I think that this idea of, you know, sort of digital fantasy being brought into the reality of your home, and then Kim or whoever may have been to be able to show, like, this could be real, you know, I think just sort of led to this somewhat depersonalization of our home, and actually a little bit of shame and judgment around like just the natural things that happen in our homes.
Yes.
And so
like things on countertops.
Things on countertops and, you know, and just like, you know, just junk and, you know, your your grandma's, you know, chest that you mm-hmm. like have dragged around yes. forever for some.
The fact that we all own scissors that aren't even beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Yes, yes. So I think, you know, it's all these things.
Right.
And where we come in around, where I come in and where my sort of methodology comes in is like, there's a lot of really great parts about that.
Yeah.
You know, but how do we make it your own? How do we make it feel real? Like, how do we, it's not, this is not for photography. Like,
this is for a living.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have a collection out with West Elm now.
Yes.
And I am so curious how all of that thinking and methodology informed the West Elm collection.
It's funny because it actually was like, I was looking a lot mm-hmm. at, you know, West Elm's audience is like a lot bigger and yes. a lot less specific mm-hmm. than my client, you know, right. than
yeah,
my
than
very specific
list.
Client.
Yeah.
So, you know, I felt like I had to change where it's mm-hmm. like, this is not luxury residential mm-hmm. in that same methodology. Like it still is luxury, but it's yeah. like, we're not doing it so tailored. And so I was looking at a lot of what people were reacting to, which mm-hmm. was this wanting for space, wanting for cleanliness, wanting mm-hmm. for it to feel like fresh and new. And, you know, I kept, you know, thinking about just someone starting their life in like a condo and a tower and
yes.
yeah.
Tampa, you know, like uh-huh, mm-hmm. just, uh-huh, I just yes. wanted to say like, okay, where's like baseline? Where's yes. like the base canvas? And like, mm-hmm. if I were to talk with them, what would I tell them to do?
Right. Yeah.
And that was sort of how this like 25 essentials and like yeah. the kind of collection came together.
Well, and the pieces in this collection feel very, they're like, they do have that like, where do you need to start? But also they're pieces that feel like the special version of that. Like these etched glasses that are like, just that, like they have that hand feel that would be different than a standard glass, or the checkered rug that is still in neutral colors but has personality, and just these elements that feel like they would pop in that environment and they would add that like texture.
Yes. You know, how to give you that cleanliness, and you know, and how to have it feel like a fresh start and have it feel like things that could also move into a different environment.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
We are, West Elm is all around the world, but it's an American company. And I was thinking a lot about the American consumer. Mm-hmm. We are the most mobile yes. culture in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Nobody, no civilization has moved the amount that this American civilization has.
That's yeah. a fascinating way to think about it. Yeah.
We do in other yeah, yeah, places, yeah. in other times.
Yeah, yeah.
This idea of I'm going to pack up my entire life and I'm going to move to California. I'm going to
away from my family, and then maybe in 3 years move to Seattle.
Yeah, maybe go to Austin, maybe go to yeah. Chicago. Like maybe like these places have no connection to each other, you know, yeah, like yeah. other than they're in America. And so that's always fascinated me,
yeah.
you know, and I thought, and that was sort of why it was about this reduction. It's like, okay, well, I can take a table, I can take a dining chair. How is it going to keep?
How does it translate in yeah. all of these worlds? Yeah.
You had designed products before this, right?
That was actually what I was trained in.
Okay.
You know, I went to Pratt Institute in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I studied industrial design. Mm-hmm. I always thought I would work at a company mm-hmm. like West Elm. So mm-hmm. this is somewhat of a full circle moment. Mm-hmm. I came out of school around 2008. It was mm-hmm. not a great time to get a job
no.
for those of you mm-hmm. who were around during that fun time. And so I started this little company and I was freelancing and I ended up being in people's homes. And I actually had a tableware collection at the time that launched in 2010. I sort of made these samples that became a runaway trade and actually ended up going to Bloomingdale's and Neiman's, and was kind of a little bit the beginning of this. I then retreated into interior design and architecture and the private space, you mm-hmm. know, because I found there to be so much more creative freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love the relationships.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to JetPens for sponsoring today's episode. As we talked about on this podcast a few episodes ago, I went to Tokyo recently. Tokyo, like land of the specialty store, land of the like, do you need a specific kind of hand-thrown porcelain bowl? Well, we have the shop for you. Also, like that means land of the amazing stationery and writing utensil store. And the last time that we went to Japan, I feel like Thomas and I spent like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours combined, like looking at pens and mechanical pencils. And he's very like particular about his lead widths and all of that. And so this trip, I was like, okay, so where do you like, when do we want to do this? And he was like, oh no, we don't need to do that. We got JetPens. Like I already,
wow.
Like, he was like, I've got my source. Like I have placed an order recently. I feel completely taken care of by JetPens. He feels very strongly about, I'm going to get in so much trouble for not knowing, but like, I can't remember if it's 0.7 or 0.5 mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. mechanical pencil lead weight. So everything is there. They are there for you. You
That's
don't
incredible
have to
praise.
Go to Tokyo. You don't
so
have to
So much
go to
cheaper than a flight to Tokyo, JetPens. JetPens is an online stationery store with a huge selection of fine writing supplies and unique office supplies sourced from all over the world. And if you are a writing utensil fanatic, and I know a lot of you are, you already knew that and you didn't need us to tell you. They have fast and free shipping for US customers with orders over $35, free content and resources with expert guidance to help you discover and choose the best stationery. 5-star customer care on Google customer reviews. JetPens has a special offer for our listeners, a free JetPens marker and washi tape with any $50 order. Visit www.jetpens.com/a-thing-or-two to activate the offer. Offer ends 6/30/2024.
Did you bring some thingies that we should know about?
Yeah, we should know. And I hope I don't botch the name.
Okay.
Okay. Number one thing, little expensive thingy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So please don't judge me, okay. Audience. Lorenzi Milano.
Okay.
Lorenzi Milano. You Google it.
Okay.
Okay.
Toothpaste squeezer.
Is it like a metal?
It's a metal. It sort of takes its design influence off of like painters.
Yeah.
Tube squeezers.
Yes, yes.
And so they've done it in the most elegant way with a little bit of leather in it.
Ooh.
And you thread the toothpaste.
Thread sounds extremely elegant. Yeah. I love
and
it.
And you twist this little thing and it pulls out this perfect thing and you put it on your toothbrush. And it's like when I imagine my downfall and my like small studio apartment in some, you know, anonymous city, I imagine like I will take this item. Like this item will be with me forever. Like this will elevate my everyday on for the rest of my life.
But here's my question. Are you using it on a tube of Colgate or are you getting
Marvis? What is your toothpaste?
What We're in that journey right now.
Okay.
It's a relatively new item in my life.
Okay.
I have committed to probably like a lesser brand of toothpaste that is more attractive.
Okay.
And it's,
Do you want to share with us what it is?
It's Marvis.
Okay.
You know,
that it's a lesser toothpaste, but it's beautiful. Yeah.
But we also, do we know toothpaste science? Like, I don't know. Like, is where I say, like, I'm just a decorator.
Right.
I'm not a scientist. But,
I don't know toothpaste science.
In my head, mm-hmm. Colgate and mm-hmm. the, like, you know, Procter and Gambles of the world have taught me.
Right. That they make a superior product.
Well, could be all marketing. Marvis is better. We don't know.
You got to get on the pod. You got to get the toothpaste scientist.
But I also think a lot of people have their concerns about the Colgates and the Crests of the world being not good for us, right? You at some point surfaced for me that I should be concerned about my toothpaste.
Well, I use a toothpaste called Risewell. Because that woman was worried about the things that were going in the other toothpaste, including
sparkles. Remember as a kid?
Yeah.
When you had like the multi, some of it was white.
My son uses a sparkle toothpaste.
Yeah. Still doing it. Yeah.
But Aquafresh, I believe, is the one that you're
eating. I love that. It reminded me of like Napolitan ice cream.
There was something in some coolant, something that was like also in
automobile fluid, like something that you're just like, am I really putting them in my mouth?
Yeah. No,
I've used Risewell for a while. The problem is I've like fought with the Risewell tube this morning and it's a plastic tube and it does not,
we all fight with the tube. It's a horrible part of our daily existence. You hide it in the thing, you leave it on the counter, it gets everywhere. So this squeezer.
It's the answer. David's toothpaste, which is a beautiful toothpaste that comes with a thinger.
Really?
When you buy it, the little key thing is in there to squeeze it out. It doesn't sound as beautiful as yours.
Okay. With every tube, it comes with one? Because I don't think you need a new one every time.
I don't think so either.
What else are you excited about?
What else makes it? I mean, you can't not talk about Beyonce right now.
Oh, yes. Talk about Beyonce.
16 Carriages. Yes. Bodyguard.
Yes.
I think about it all day. I think I literally like have now started taking noise canceling headphones to work to think about moments when I can get time with it.
That's great.
Wow.
Oh no, it's. Yeah.
I love this.
She, you know, she's a master. And I feel like the show, the last album, really great. But like, I feel like this is
the one for you.
She just wanted to like bring us to the musicality.
Yes.
She wanted to hit our hearts. Like,
yep.
The last one was about the dance, which I love the dance.
Yes.
But this is a great listen. And that 16 Carriages.
I feel the same.
That 16 Carriages.
Interesting. I mean, that is not the song for me.
Oh, but, I love 16 Carriages. Like to it took this. Me a minute because I think Texas Hold'em is so good. And
that is the number one.
You don't need to listen to it more than once to know that like it grabs you immediately. Yeah. 16 Carriages took me a couple listens and now, oh my God, it's so moving.
No, it's Aretha. I mean, it's
so good.
You know, it's next level.
I love the duets, but I love Miley Cyrus and I love Post Malone.
I love the Miley duet.
The Miley one's so good. Yeah.
And Bodyguard. I
really love Bodyguard.
Turn Bodyguard up.
I really love Bodyguard also. I think that's right.
I love Bodyguard. I don't know how much of it is loving the song and loving the conspiracy of it all.
Oh, I don't even know that. I have no idea about the conspiracy.
Beyonce fandom has, long before this album came out, not joked about Beyonce's relationship with her bodyguard, Julian, who is very handsome and who is always with her.
Oh, yes.
And it was always like a running joke. And then she came out with this song, Bodyguard, and everybody was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Are you speaking directly to us?
He's so handsome.
And he has
so much swagger because he's Beyonce's bodyguard.
Yes.
So he's just deeply calm and deeply in charge.
The
song is also just so good, but it is enhanced for me by the lore.
Totally.
Did you go to the Renaissance show?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. And I lost my mind.
Yeah.
It was the first like stadium concert that I had been to in like, I mean, we're talking like almost 30 years. They really freak me out.
Yeah.
Like
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's the whole like exiting and entering being trapped thing isn't like so my jam. So the last one before that was Worcester Centrum. I think it was Aerosmith.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It shows you where I'm from.
Yeah.
And so I was really nervous, but it was like, I had to go bore you with the details of that. But the moment that she started that show, I lost my mind.
Yeah.
I was actually, you know, I knew that the set was exactly 2.5 hours because I was like preparing myself.
Yeah, that's good. I like to know how long things are when I walk in.
I do.
I think it's important.
Yeah. And that's the live music thing has always been a little hard for me.
Uh-huh.
Because the encore, like, what are we getting into?
Right. I do not like an encore. And I think this is why I don't like the not knowing.
You want to know.
I want to know.
The thing is like the show and her voice.
It looked incredible.
And the queerness and like you know, she is a genius, but then whoever constructed that show, like the team of people, the creative geniuses that did this thing.
They like staged this performance.
And it really honored what queer culture has like brought to that. And so like it was really touching how she was able to take her platform and all these things that I'd really cared about and grown up with and house music and, you know, it was amazing.
She's so good. I saw her when she toured for Lemonade and I just cannot believe how good she is at her job.
Yes.
Like, it's just such, she just works so hard. She's so smart. She's so good. She's such an inspiration. You're like, I can't believe I'm living at the same time as this person.
Exactly. Hard, you know, hard worker.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Nutrafol for sponsoring today's episode. You have heard us say it time and again. They are a longtime partner for a reason. Nutrafol actually works. It works. Your hair is going to look great if you commit to taking these pills. And I have a pro tip. Okay?
Here, let's hear it.
I've been keeping mine in my bedside drawer, my nightstand drawer. And it's the last thing I do at night. I struggle to take first thing in the morning, during the day, whatever. If it's in my nightstand drawer, I've always got my water there. I'm always sort of like rummaging around for something to distract me. I'm always taking my pills.
I can picture the rummaging. Yeah.
I just think, I know that committing is hard for people with any sort of medicine, any sort of supplement. And Nutrafol is something that you really do have to take it consistently. And you have to take it consistently for a while. But if you do, it will work. And this is my pro tip for you.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one size fits all approach to hair growth doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. Physician formulated with drug-free ingredients, Nutrafol supplements support healthy hair growth from within by targeting the root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism as they evolve throughout a woman's life. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol's women's hair growth supplement for 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code A Thing or Two. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code A Thing or Two. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code A Thing or Two. What other thingies you got?
What other thingies? You know, one of my thingies is always Hillstone, you know, and, you know, I've talked about it like a little bit before. I don't know whether I've ever publicly talked about it, but
we love to be this platform.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like it is, we're in turbulent times, you know, and it feels deeply unturbulent.
Yes.
You know, it feels like I know I can get that dip. I know I can get kind of
that,
I know,
like, Cobb salad or whatever.
Yeah, I can get that, you know, I can get the Chinese chicken salad. Yes. I can, you know, I can go for like creative sushi that I didn't even know I wanted. I don't even like creative sushi, but it's there.
Creative sushi is like, you know, a good band
or
name.
I can get a cheeseburger, you know, or the French Louis, you know, like.
What is the French Louis?
A French Louis is like shrimp, iceberg lettuce, shrimp, and Russian dressing.
Yeah, perfect.
Thousand Island.
Perfect. Yeah. No. Perfect. Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of vehicles in my life for Thousand Island, but I it's like a place that I can go and I can experience it. I don't want it in my home necessarily. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to go buy that, but like they make
it. But a once a year, the option to have it. Yeah.
Not limit yourself to once a year. Like, I would not limit yourself to going to
Hillstone
once a year.
But here's actually the
thing,
French
Louis. Yeah, okay, New York, it's actually very hard to get a reservation at Hillstone.
So hard.
So it is a once a year thing if you are lucky, because you can't just waltz in there.
But there's, you know, they have, you know, it is a franchise.
Yeah.
So you can, my favorite one in the world, I will reveal this, is Ball Harbor Mall, South Florida.
Okay.
Miami.
I think our friend Marissa maybe went to that.
Yeah,
also loves that.
It's very chic.
Yeah, I think also loves that. I think went there by herself on her birthday one year.
Yeah, that sounds like a dream birthday to me.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself in the Miami-Dade regional county, get yourself a reservation. You can get it.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
The New York one, I've somewhat have given up.
We have this term that we use called a Michigan star, which is, you know, obviously inspired by a Michelin star. A Michigan star is a restaurant that is just a comfort restaurant that you can kind of go to anytime, yes. that you know exactly what to order.
It's
that,
dependable. There are like maybe three or four dishes on the menu that are excellent. And if then the rest here, is like good.
If you're here in New York City, Elephant and Castle.
Oh.
On Greenwich.
Yeah.
You know
it's sort of like a pub vibe. Yes.
Pubby vibes, but the food, all homemade, all really good. There's actually some healthy options.
Elephant
you can
Castle.
Always get a table.
That's what
staff
you mean, yes.
is super nice.
Well, you immediately grasped what
so that's
what a
the second
star.
Thing.
Because Michigan. I do feel like a Hillstone in Houston should, in theory, be a Michigan star, but it is not because you can never get a table.
They tried to, like when we were doing some press things around this, there was like all this talk about food because I'm actually obsessed with food.
Okay.
And it's like a huge part of my life and I love talking about it and thinking about it and doing it. But there is this, you know, not will be named publication that is a food publication. And they were like really interested in like my favorite restaurants and like all this stuff. And I couldn't, like I could not produce anything interesting other than like, you know, Elephant Castle and Hillstone because I won't fight my way in. I'm not.
Yeah.
You won't.
Not,
you won't play the Resi game of whatever.
No,
it's also boring.
It's very boring.
Boring.
I find also like over foodiness. Is not, that takes the joy out.
I agree.
You know.
Are you familiar with the newsletter Blackbird Spy Plane?
Claire was waiting for it.
How could you not?
Yeah.
It's a menswear newsletter that now also has a women's wear corollary.
Concord.
Yeah. And it's incredibly voicey and it's incredibly, I can't find quite the word for it, but it has a very specific point of view. It has its own vernacular and language and it's got a cult following.
Like the first time you open it and you try to read it, you're like, whoa, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. Because you have to really like learn how they write to even parse what
and how they capitalize and it's highly
it's a
specific.
Vibe
so it what's has, the good what's the thing what's
well
the
so
thingy?
Okay so it has it, so it, it this is not the thingy because it's actually it was a rare misstep. It was a controversy because it's such a beloved by many newsletter, but it came out one day with what it believed was a revelatory essay. It was a big Christopher Columbus moment for them where they were like, hey guys, Hillstone. And wrote
really?
A whole essay about Hillstone, and everybody was like, "We all love Hillstone."
And they thought they were like breaking news, and everybody was like, "What?"
And they were like,
it's
talking
the most
secret.
Popular restaurant
and
in America.
Like, everybody who's cool knows Hillstone's cool. Like, what are you talking about?
And they presented it as this thing that like only like that like you wouldn't know it was cool unless you really. It was a real if you know you know, and everybody was like, "No, we all know."
They're like, this is a perfect restaurant.
Which came out of Houston's, which I will say is one of my thingies.
Yeah.
The city of Houston.
Oh.
What?
Nice segue from Beyonce.
Yeah. Go spend time there. It's not really, it's not because it is the home of Beyonce. But
that's just a perk.
That's just a perk. Go spend time in that Houston.
Yeah.
What are you doing in Houston?
It's a more manageable LA.
It
gives you everything
what
that LA
strong,
gives you. But
they should
like,
put that on the poster.
I know. It's like,
welcome
you know,
to Houston, a more manageable LA.
Amazing food.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, go like name what you want to eat.
Yeah.
Incredible food, incredible, you know, of course, Tex-Mex and all that stuff. Yeah. Insane art.
The Rothko Chapel.
The Rothko Chapel, the Menils, yes. that, you know, like you really can have an extraordinary day of art there. And really, like, it is sprawling, but it's actually pretty easy to get around it. Huh. And if you don't go in the depths of summer, which I would highly suggest you don't do, it is incredibly temperate. I have always had a deep affection for the state of Texas.
Really?
Yes. It
interesting.
Is, there is,
it's got a lot of personality, Texas.
Me and the Texans, it's funny. I'm like a gay guy from Vermont.
Right.
You wouldn't think that maybe that was where
you found
I was
your people.
Like, you know, where I found my people. But I feel like the ones that don't accept me will let me know right off the bat.
So you guys can just go your
which
separate
I
ways.
Really like, I really like that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I really like that directness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then the ones who are accept, I like, it's just a really fun state and people, and you know, I feel like, you know, maybe I hope not controversial, but like to me, it feels like the best of America.
Oh, interesting. You know what? We to come back to New York for a second, many of our like best New York friends are Texans.
That's true.
Texan, yeah. Texas to New York transplants.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like that is an especially magical combination. Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here. I feel like it really bring, you know, it makes good people.
Yeah.
It makes good people. For a last thingy, we heard something about Fruit Loops.
Mm.
You know, I think in general, I don't eat cereal on a daily basis, but I feel like also back to America and the fact that I do, you know, with all of its challenges, I do find myself to be distinctly American.
Yeah.
Like, I want to live here. Yeah. I love going to Europe. I love traveling all around the world. Mm-hmm. I hope to someday, you know, have residency somewhere else too. But I really love this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like cereal is like, I don't know, in the DNA.
Yeah. You're totally right.
Of who we are.
It's a deeply American food, like a hot dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like a hot dog.
Yeah.
I say hot dog. Like a weird Boston thing.
I did clock that quite quickly.
I did not make it a thingy because I couldn't like figure out how to
explain it.
How to bring something new to the table with the hot dog. But like for me, it's always.
I love a hot dog.
Yeah, I love a hot dog. It's a real comfort, as I do feel a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah.
You know,
with really cold milk.
With really cold milk. And we did design this cereal bowl for West Elm, this shell cereal bowl with a handle for all you moms out there.
That's good. Yeah.
No, it's a thing.
Yeah, for sure.
You just try this cereal bowl with this little handle, you know, and. Yeah. I felt like, you know, the shell was like a really fun vehicle for a Fruit Loop, like, you know, for a sugary cereal, you know, which feels very comforting.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Always. Did your parents allow you Fruit Loops on a regular basis? Okay.
Well, that's also part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It was a contraband. Nancy was not, she was not like, we weren't able to just like grab it off the shelf. Yeah. Maybe a box would find its way in, you know.
Special occasions,
meltdowns. They usually try to buy us off with things like that.
Oh, interesting.
So,
totally. We, my son is really into holidays, and this year he asked how we were celebrating St. Patrick's Day. And it was the day before. So I just blurted out.
Like, what do you mean, sir?
I just blurted out, we'll eat Lucky Charms. And so that's what we did. First of all.
Wow, that's a great one. I even forgot. I feel like I haven't talked enough about Lucky Charms.
Well, they're so good.
They're incredible.
And I have to tell you, if you would like to adopt my family's new tradition, you got to get ahead of it because when we had to go to two different grocery stores because I think
out.
A lot of people had the same idea that this was how they would celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
The best thing about a Lucky Charms is the color of the milk afterwards.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
And just how the marshmallow is not actually a marshmallow. It's just a slimy chalk. But it's delicious.
Don't talk about it like that.
I know, I love it. That's not a marshmallow.
You're right, it's its own beast.
It's its own beast, and I absolutely love the slimy on the outside, chalky on the inside sweetness.
Yeah.
And combined with the sugary Cheerio. It's perfect. But it's,
really happy that you reminded me of that. And because I feel like I've been thinking a lot about cereal with this cereal bowl and really trying to promote people eating cereal with this bowl.
Yeah.
Which I feel like I did a good job of, you know, I guess I didn't do a good enough job because I forgot about the Lucky Charms.
Billy, this is delightful.
This was wonderful.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Shop Billy's West Elm collaboration. Buy his beautiful,
beautiful book.
Oh my God.
Instagram.
Yeah, all the things. That's the show.
This has been a production of Dear Media, and we are so grateful to the talented team over there for helping us make this podcast happen, especially our wonderful producer, Olivia Mead. You can follow us on Instagram at athingor2hq. If you have ideas for the show or want to advertise, email podcast@athingor2hq.com. Find show notes and sign up for our newsletter at athingor2hq.com. And if you love our show, you'll also want to join our Geneva. Lots of good chatter happening there.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.